this part, but I want to get right to the part we're dealing with. Romans 1:28. If you read the whole thing, you'll begin to catch it. Let me start real quick in 19. I'm going to go really fast, so I'm just going to read straight through and not talk about it. Everybody's going, yeah, yeah. Romans 1:19. Because the things known of God is clearly known within them, for the God revealed it to them. Well, let's go to 18. For God's wrath is revealed from heaven on all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, holding the truth in unrighteousness, because the thing known of God is clearly known within them, for God revealed it to them. For the unseen things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made, both his eternal power and Godhead, for them to be without excuse. Real quick, what he's saying there, God created the natural world in such a way that you would know that there's a God. That's what he's saying there. He made it so you would know that he was God. And anything that gets you away from that is reprobate. He goes on, because knowing God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. And think of some of your lives before you found Christ. But they became vain in their reasonings, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. And we've talked about that. It's going to be on the tape series when it comes out. They professed to be wise, but they became foolish. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into a likeness of an image of corruptible man, of birds, of four-footed animals, and creeping things. In other words, they began to think God was like them. God thought like them. God would look at sin the way they do. And they began to be their own God. It goes on, because of this, God gave them up to impurities and the lusts of their hearts, their bodies to be dishonored among themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the created thing more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And he's saying here, he's given us a strong example that as nature reveals truth to us, as nature reveals who God is and what God's about, when you begin to come against the very nature, natural things that declare that there's a God, when you begin to buy into terrible theology such as the Big Bang Theory and evolution and all these crazy things, God says he turns you over to that lie. And when you become turned over to the lie, then now unclean things, unclean spirits are released that will cause you to do impure things. And you'll think it's okay. Does it sound like America or what? Do you see why we know we're coming to the last of the last days? We're not just making this up. It's come full force. We're really going full. There's a major battle right now in this nation, a major battle for time. Because by the time it's all said and done, God has declared it's going to be horrible by the end of time. God has declared that he is going to have a church without spot or blemish that's going to reveal his glory, that's going to help people be drawn back to God. But at the same time, there's going to be a great light coming forth from the church as we're all here getting free. But there's also going to be great darkness in the world. And right now, there is such, in our nation, it's like an unbelievable battle, especially with this homosexual thing, but also with other things about the war in Iraq. Just, there's a lot of, right now, a lot of really black and white issues coming forth as one saying, well, you're ridiculous, and the other saying, you're ridiculous. And there's really, for the first time, not this merging. And it's a amazing that God is revealing his glory, I believe, through movies like The Passion and different things that God's doing right now to say, America, what do you want? First thing, church, what do you want? When are you going to stand up and get this junk out of your hearts so I won't have to bring you down with this nation? There will come a point when this nation will be judged. There's no question about it. God keeps showing it to me. I'll talk about it some other time. He gave me some powerful stuff in Jeremiah 7. But the bottom line is this. We are really in this battle right now. See, to me, this next election and even what the Supreme Court chooses about homosexuality and all these things, it's not about the people. I don't hate the people. I want to give them more time to get right. I want to give them more time to see a powerful church. See, my heart of hearts is someone that God's called for this hour is, God, give us more time. Give me enough time, God, to get pure and holy and without blemish and with your compassion and with your power that somebody will be pulled right out of the fire. Lord, that somebody will see who you really are. All they've seen is the church arguing. All they've seen is our wrong doctrine. All they've seen is our division. They've seen all our reprobate, and they're not listening. But God, I know you different now. I've seen what you've done in me. I've seen how you've changed me. I've seen how you've changed people's lives that everyone thought they were going to hell. And I know you can do it, but I know not much of the church knows that yet. And not much of the church reveals that yet. And God, would you give me time to go forth, even if they hate me, even if I'm persecuted for righteousness' sake, even if people don't want to hear what I have to say, God, at least give me a season and a time to declare it. So God, give us a government that will allow free speech for a little bit longer. Give us a government for a little bit longer, Lord, so we can mature. See, it's going to be a lot easier to mature a church, I think, when you can still preach the word of God. There are laws right now they're debating in Canada that would actually make it illegal to preach the Bible. And it would be called, it would be declared a book of hate. Now that's reprobate. It's already happened in a lot of Europe. And don't fool yourself, this is going to come here. Satan's got to get this out of our hands to try to take us back into the dark ages. He's going to have to get it out of our hands to set up the Antichrist's throne. You're already seeing it. Man, if your eyes would open, if you get out of your own little, I got to go to work and I got to pay some bills and da, 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 my own little world. If you kind of get your head out of your circumstances and get up where you can see from God's point of view, you'll begin to realize, wow, this is really happening. God, how can you use me? What can I do? Man, you just spend your whole little life doing your own little thing, working your own little job, making your own little money. For what? You are going to stand before God one day and give account of every bit of time that he gave you and the season that your life was placed on this earth to glorify him and every bit of teaching that you've received that could help somebody that you just sat on while you built your own little empire. You need to stop and think, how much money do I really need? And then you need to start living for God. Get your riches here, folks, or you can give it all up here and start living for the kingdom of God and get what he has for you. But that shouldn't be your motive. Everything you give up here because the time is short, you're going to be rewarded. Not that you'll even care about it. We just, gosh, if we can't even get the church above the world's greed and busyness, there's really going to be a lot of people going to hell, and it's going to be our fault. It's going to be your fault. It's going to be a lot of your faults. You're so consumed with your own junk that God cannot even get through to you, even when you're hearing powerful teaching, seeing deliverance, and yet you keep living for yourself. If you could ever get the heartbeat of God and see that he desperately wants a church without spot or blemish, and he doesn't want it to be just 5 or 6 people. You get to choose what kind of vessel you'll be. It says so in the word. You get to choose. It's not him zapping you someday. It's not him showing you someday, oh, give this to me. You need to start dealing with your idols. Whatever you spend your most time with, your most thinking's consumed by, and you study and learn about the most is your idol. Anyway, I just added that in as a bonus. That's my little commercial. Okay. Professing to be wise, they became foolish. That's most of our things you see taught and what scientists are saying. When they say that you are born homosexual, but the Bible says you're made in the image of God. When they say that you come from monkeys, these are totally foolish things. And yet, I tell you what, you hear the media say it enough. You hear teachers say it enough. You hear it taught enough. And you begin to believe the reprobate thinking just because someone's saying it. Even when it doesn't make sense. But if you don't understand spiritual things, what else can they believe? If you don't believe spiritual things, if you don't believe there's a devil who can come in and mess up stuff, what are you supposed to believe? So you don't judge them. Of course you're going to believe reprobate if you can't believe that there's a spiritual part to this life. Okay. 26, because of this, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for even their females changed the natural use to that contrary to nature. And likewise, the males also forsaken the natural use of the female, burned in their lust towards one another, males with males, working out shamefulness, receiving back within themselves the reward which was fitting for their error. Do I believe that AIDS is a judgment? Yes, I do. It says so. I just read it to you. Well, God wouldn't judge like that. Are you kidding? Wait till you see, go look at how he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. It was gone fast. Wait till you see what's going to happen. Let me tell you what, when the Antichrist starts ruling and God starts letting it all fly and mercy is over, you're going to find out that there's a part to God that is so righteous and holy that when we decide that we can do whatever we want anyway, live whatever and think whatever, folks, there's no fear of the Lord. I have a reverent fear of the Lord. I know that the devil can't do anything. I know that my sin allows him to do whatever. God's judgment is just stepping out of the way and saying, okay, America, I'm not protecting you anymore. Let's see how powerful your military is. against demonic forces. God's mercy is unbelievable. God comes in and moves and does something. The next thing, we have bumper stickers giving ourselves all the credit. And all the Christians are going, no, don't put that on there. Don't say that. It always starts with everybody glorifying God. And within a week or two, it turns around with everybody glorifying themselves. Phew. Yeah. Lord have mercy. Help us. 28. And even as he did not fit. Now listen to this. Even they did not think it fit to have God in their knowledge. God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do the things not right. So when we begin to not believe what God says or have God's understanding in our knowledge, when we begin to base truth on what some scientist says or some specialist or expert who, you know, says instead of God, think about it. When we put what somebody else says to a higher place in our own thinking as truth, the Bible says at that point, it's a reprobate mind. It's not even carnal. It's reprobate. It's a reprobate mind. Having been filled. Now, here is the fruit of a reprobate mind. And each of us, I believe, in America anyway. And maybe you were raised super godly and totally protected. And praise the Lord if that's true. But overall, just looking at our cartoons, just looking at our education system, just looking at politics, just looking at policies, if you're in America, you have given yourselves over to some reprobate teaching. I used to teach in youth group in a Methodist church that people didn't go to hell. Because I just thought God would be too nice for that. I tried to make God into an image that wasn't true. God is more merciful and more gracious and more just than anyone. But I didn't understand holiness. I wasn't antichrist and horrible, terrible person because I was stupid. But I was reprobate because I didn't know. And I thank God for repentance to set us free from the reprobate spirit, to set us free from not agreeing with God. And when you see some Christians who are so full of self-righteousness, which is reprobate and they don't know it, and judgmentalness, and they just walk around and nobody wants to be them or be near them or have anything to do with them, you can begin to understand that if we don't get the reprobate out of our own hearts, nobody's going to be drawn to our Lord. It's not important if they like me. It's very important that they see Jesus. So let's look at the fruit of this. And this is what we're dealing with tonight. 29. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, iniquity, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, becoming whisperers, slanderers, God haters, insolent, proud, raggers, devisers of evil things, disobedient to parents. Now look at that. Disobedient to parents is right in there with homosexuals. That's why I told all the teenagers to be in here tonight. Without discernment. Well, that's most of the church. I'm being honest. Amen. We're all reprobate. Like I said, we need a t-shirt. Reprobate, it ain't great. Set me free before it's too late. Ooh. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous order of God, that those practicing such things are worthy of death. Not only do they do them, but they also approve those practicing them. Not only, God is saying when you are in agreement with any of these things, you deserve exactly what the person who's participating in them deserves. Do you not see why Satan wants you to be reprobate about other people's sins? Say, well, you know, they can't help it. You know, they're just like that. Well, when you say that, you come against the word that says, you know what, if you agree with that, you get it. You get the same punishment. Whoa. Now there should be a little bit of fear of the Lord. No, God, I'm going to agree with you. Because number one, he came to set people free. And let me say this. If he didn't set us free, it would be horrible, but he's still God. And that's how it would be. But he did set us free. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was tormented. There's not a single person who cannot live holy by the Holy Spirit in their lives. There's not a single person who cannot be in right standing or righteous before God because of what Jesus did. There's not a single person who has to keep giving in to the devil. And so what I want to do tonight, and for those who've been going along with this, for some it's new, for some it's a beginning, for some it's an ending, I believe, to this particular part of what he's been teaching us. I want to be totally free from reprobate. Now, it's going to change some of what you do. Some of you are going to have to look at your jobs and see if they're totally honest. Some of you are going to have to look at what you participate in, what you watch, who you fellowship with. You know what? It's so easy to just justify stuff and act like God doesn't care. And then you have to wait till you're hit full force with a horrible trial to cry out for forgiveness. Why don't you get your life straight before the trial hits? Why don't you look at every part of your life and see if it can stand up under God? And don't think just because something seems to be blessed, it's God. There are a lot of millionaires on their way to hell. You need to stop and say, can I know that I know that what I am doing? Know that God is watching it. Know that God understands the rules. Know that God understands who's being hurt or stolen from or taken advantage of or whatever it is. Know those things. Begin to get out of this reprobate thinking that God's not right there and there's angels writing down every word you speak. And the Bible says you're going to give account for that. No wonder we need an eternity. The only things that won't be on those papers are the things that are truly repented of and brought under the blood of Christ. I'm hoping mine is real short. I'm hoping I get rid of all of it while I'm down here. So you all won't have to hear about it in front of all the angels and all the saints and anyone who's ever gone to be with God. And so for those who don't get this teaching here and don't get the revelation here, they'll get it. But I thank God for his mercy that I can get free here and then he can use me here. See, nobody's going to have this when they get into heaven because at judgment, he's going to deal with it all. Okay. Laurie did these notes for me, so I appreciate that. Romans 1:28, having been filled with all unrighteousness. And she looked up the definitions and all. Unrighteousness means wickedness. Having the nature of evil. Now think about that. God wants to deal with us about anything evil in our hearts. Anything that we've taken on to compare ourselves to others. Anything we've taken on that doesn't just say that God loves you as you are. He made you. He knew what he was doing. He died for your sins so he could bring you into the fullness of who you are in Christ. Any of this stuff, and I can't go into it all tonight. You'll have to get the tapes here. It's going to be about 6 or 7 CDs on this one. But anything that doesn't line up with truth, and the truth as God's been, as he reveals it in his word, but also in his very nature and the things we've talked about. And I can't catch everybody up. That's what's the hardest thing about teaching something line upon line, and then everybody's not at each meeting. But the nature of evil. It's immoral. It's failing to meet God's standards. It's flawed. It's impure. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There are many people who are deceived that God's going to look the other way. Amen. Let me tell you why he won't look the other way. Because at Calvary, he had to look the other way and let his son pay for all that sin. At Calvary, the Father had to allow every demonic force, every wicked thing, every sin to touch his son and torment his son. And while he looked away, that's why Jesus said, Father, why have you forsaken me? He had to say, you have to become sin and I can have no part of you. See, God can have no part of sin. Jesus took that sin that we could be righteous. And it's not a little thing to God. It's a major thing to God. Your righteousness is in Christ. That's why you have to hate evil like he hates evil. You have to hate lying like he hates lying. It doesn't matter if it's a little lie or a big lie. You have to hate it because it nailed Christ to the tree. You've got to hate impurity. You've got to hate pornography. You've got to hate watching something that Jesus could not sit there and watch with you because he's there. You stop for 1 minute and you stop and think if they're going to run the things that aren't covered by the blood up on a screen for everyone to see, including your wife if she gets in and your children if they get in and whatever. And all of a sudden, you begin to see what you were watching. What you were saying about somebody on the phone. The cool thing is there is forgiveness. But true repentance means I stay away from it. If I can't stay away from it, it's spiritual, which means I then come and get free from it. I come and confess my sins. The Bible says if you're faithful, if you confess your sins one to another, he's faithful and just to forgive you all sins. So it's very biblical when we all line up, confess our sins and get free. Just because we don't go and act like some man is God and hide in some little booth somewhere and do 50 Hail Marys and throw water over our backs or something. That stuff is a counterfeit of the real of confessing your sins publicly in a group of believers who understand how the gospel works and getting free.